We've been looking in our sermons at God's instructions to Moses concerning the building of the tabernacle in the book of Exodus. And it'll be helpful for you this morning if you have your Bibles open at Exodus chapters 28 and 29. We've been looking at the tabernacle, as I said, and when we get the technology sorted again, it'll be the tabernacle, as God was instructing the people of Israel to build it, God had precise instructions. And we have seen that every part of the tabernacle points us to God's saving plan. The tabernacle was God's picture for His people to help them understand how they could draw near to God. It was there to help them understand how they can have God dwell in their midst and how they can enter His presence. There in the wilderness was this glorious structure assembled in the middle of the Israelite camp. And every Israelite could look towards the center of the camp, and there they would see this great tent of meeting. They would see the white curtain wall that surrounded the tabernacle. There was a distinction from those who were inside in the presence of God and those who were outside. God was teaching His people, there's a distinction between those that I draw near to myself and those who remain far off. Well, how can they come near to God? The answer is they can come through the entrance, the only gate, this curtain that was made with blue, purple, and scarlet yarns, one way into the presence of God. God was teaching His people, there is only one way in. And then as they enter in, they come to the big, large bronze altar. God was saying, I demand sacrifice for sin. Your sin must be paid for. The result of sin is death. God's punishment, His justice, has to be satisfied for us to draw close to God. And of course, these point us to Jesus Christ. There is a difference between those who are in Jesus Christ and those who are outside of Jesus Christ. There is a separation between those who are Christ's and the world. But how are we brought in? We are brought in through the only door, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can only come by having our sins paid for. Through the one who said, bind to the horns of the altar with cords the sacrifice. We can only come through Jesus Christ who died for sin. Beyond the bronze altar, we have the basin for washing and then the tent of meeting itself, where only the priests could go in. This covered structure in which was the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of it was the mercy seat. And it was here where God's presence appeared in a special way. The tabernacle was beautiful, with its gold, with its blue, purple, and scarlet, with its fine embroidery, with its white linen. And yet, as the people of Israel looked on, and as they could enter in and come into the courtyard, the very presence of God was still inaccessible to the people of Israel. The ordinary Israelite could only go so far. They couldn't enter into the holy place. They couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. And so they needed a priest. They needed a high priest. And in fact, even the sacrifices that the people had to offer had to come through the priests. God, in the structure of the tabernacle, in the designs and instructions that he was giving, was teaching the people, you can't come near by yourself. You need a representative. You need one to go in for you. You need one that I have called. There is a priesthood that God sets up. And so it's to this priesthood that we turn this morning. And this priesthood also points us to Jesus Christ. And without some understanding of the calling and the clothing and the duties of the priests, we wouldn't fully understand what Jesus Christ has done for us and what he continues to do for us. These pictures that we have in the Old Testament, that these shadows, they're here to help us understand and to explain what Jesus Christ has done and what he does. We need a representative. We cannot approach God on our own. And in Jesus Christ, we have the full and final representative for us. And so we come this morning to Exodus chapter 28 and 29. As we look at this priestly system in the tabernacle, we'll be looking at the priests in their calling and the priests in their clothing. And I want us to notice, first of all, that they are holy people. The calling of the priesthood. These men have been set apart by God. Look at verse 1 of chapter 28. God instructs Moses, bring near to you Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the people of Israel to serve me as priests. God himself has chosen and called Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Look at chapter 29, verse 9. And I hope for those who are from this congregation, you've been using your reading schedules that have been drawn up, and hopefully you've already read chapter 29. But there in verse 9, we read that this priesthood for Aaron and his sons was to be theirs as a statute forever. It was only the descendants of Aaron who could hold the position of the high priesthood. Aaron himself was from the tribe of Levi. We know that from Exodus 4, verse 14. God says to Moses, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? The priests were all from this one family line. They were called out by God to serve. And where are they called from? Look back at verse 1 of chapter 28. Called from among the people. Those who were called were like the people. And they had to be like the people because they were going to be representing the people. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 that we read from earlier. It says, for every high priest chosen from among men, is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. The priests and the high priest, these are ordinary men, but called out from among the people, called out to serve. Here are men who can represent the people because they are like the people. They are made of the same substance as the people. They know the weaknesses of the people. They know the struggles of the people. They know the sufferings of the people. Here are wonderful representatives called, set apart by God, who know the people. They know them intimately. Called out from among the people. But then they're also consecrated. They were made holy. Look at verse 3 of chapter 28. God says they are to be consecrated for God's priesthood. The word consecrated means to be set apart. It means to be made clean, to be made holy, to be appointed or ordained. That's what this word means. In chapter 29, and also Leviticus chapter 8, which you can read at home later, this tells us something of this process of setting them apart, what it looked like on that day of consecration, being made clean, or that day of ordination, being made clean. They were washed with water. They are dressed. We're going to consider their clothing a little bit later. They're anointed with oil. And then there's a sin offering and a burnt offering are presented on their behalf. Another ram is slaughtered. The blood of this ram is placed on the lobe of their right ear, on the thumb of their right hand, the big toe of their right foot. We're told that the blood covers them really from head to toe symbolically. That's what this is for. And then anointing oil is sprinkled on Aaron and on his sons. They're set apart for the Lord. For 7 days, they have to remain in the tent of meeting. They're not allowed to go out until the days of ordination are completed. Now, we're going to be ordaining men to the eldership a little bit later. I want to assure Andrew and William that we will not be stripping you and washing you, covering your right earlobe and right thumb and right big toe in blood. And also, a word to your wives, we're not going to keep them in the church for 7 days, not allowing them to go in and out. But we can see here, in this ordination of the priests, there is a clear setting apart. There is a clear distinguishing these men from the others. These men are being made holy before God. In the oil, in the sacrifices, in the washing, in the clothing. Set apart for the work. They have authority from God to serve God. They have authority to act on behalf of the people before God. And to act for God on behalf of the people. We read from Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 4. We read, no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. There are examples in Scripture of men who decided to take this honor upon themselves. And it didn't work out too well for them. There was the sons of Korah. Now, they were Levites. They were from the tribe of Levi. The sons of Korah got to serve in the tabernacle complex, but they weren't from the line of Aaron, so they were never going to be high priests. And they complained. Listen to what they said. All in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? It wasn't enough for these men to be serving in the tabernacle. They wanted the office of high priest. But instead of receiving the office, the ground swallowed them up. King Saul, he was a king. He wasn't from the priestly family. And yet Saul decided that he could offer sacrifice. He was the king. I can do what I want. But God said, because of what you've done, your kingdom is taken away from you. The kingdom was given to David. King Uzziah, he did the same thing, believing that as a king he could act as a priest. It didn't matter if you were a king. It is only for those that God has called. Here are men set apart for the task of serving and ministering. Called by God. When a man is called to serve as an elder, He's called by the congregation. And we believe that this is the calling from God. It's not up to men to think, well, I'm going to be an elder, therefore I'm going to serve in this church as an elder. We're all to serve. Only for those who are called, set apart for the task, under God, ministering and serving with the authority that God and Christ Jesus has given to his church. This was especially true for the high priest. He was the one who could enter the Holy of Holies that one day every year, going into the presence of God, representing the people, because he's called from among the people. He knows the people. He's from the people, knowing their weaknesses and struggles, and yet set apart, made holy, ordained to the task, that he can enter in before God's presence and act on behalf of the people, bringing the sacrifice, interceding, praying for the people, having the people remembered before the Lord. This is what we need. We need a representative. We need one who is like us, one from among us, one who can act on our behalf, and yet one set apart and called to the task. And it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our high priest. God the Son was called. He was chosen in eternity. He has always been chosen in eternity. The one who would take on this role, sent into the world through that eternal appointment with the authority of God the Father, authority to act on our behalf. And he was made like us. He is one like us. Isn't that what we're reading in Hebrews chapter 4 and 5? There is one who knows our weaknesses. He knows our pains. He knows our temptations. He knows our struggles. He knows our fears, our uncertainties, our doubts. Jesus Christ was made like us. And he can sympathize with our ignorance, with our waywardness. He knows you intimately. And yet, called and appointed, God the Son, there is one who goes into the presence of the Father on your behalf. One who is pure and perfect. Jesus Christ, unlike the priests in the Old Testament, he never had to, first of all, offer sacrifice for his own sin, because he had no sin. But what he did was he offered a sacrifice for our sin. And that was himself, his own blood shed for us. And unlike the Old Testament priesthood, where these men died, Jesus Christ, he keeps his priesthood forever. He's from the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, that strange Old Testament character that seems to have no beginning and no end. It's a picture of eternity, one who has a priesthood forever. Today, Jesus Christ is that priest, called by God for you, like you, took on human form, knowing your weaknesses, knowing your doubts, knowing your temptations, and he comes before the Father for you. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that Christ's priesthood is eternal. What do you have this morning? You have a representative for you before God the Father, one set apart for you, one made like you, and he can show you compassion. And he can deal gently with you. If you're not a Christian this morning, then what you must do is you must come to this representative. You must place your trust in this representative. You can't approach God on your own. You can't approach God by your good works. You can't approach God in your own strength. Not even coming into this church building and standing and singing lets you enter God's presence. It is only through Jesus Christ, the Holy One, one like us, yet set apart, who represents us in heaven before God the Father, the one who gave himself for us. We see the calling of the priesthood. But then also here we see the clothing for the priesthood. The clothing for the priesthood. Chapter 28 and verse 2. If you give me a moment, I'll try to get a picture of the priesthood up for us. The priesthood, chapter 28, verse 2. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, for glory and beauty. That this high priest was to have special clothes. What he wore was to match what he would be doing. His clothes are a picture of his function. The colors of the high priest's clothing, who's the man on your right-hand side, he is... got clothing that matches the colouring of the tabernacle itself. This red and blue and purple and white yarns. Here is one who is a picture of the very presence of God. Holy, blameless, and set apart. Verse 4 of chapter 28 lists the items of this clothing for us. And then the rest of chapter 28 expands on this list. There was the ephod. And then in verses 6 to 14, we have the ephod. This was this thin piece of material that draped over the shoulders and then came down. We have the ephod here. It had two straps and these gold straps on top of them on the shoulders were two stones, two onyx stones. And then on these stones themselves were inscribed on one shoulder, six of the tribes of Israel, and on the other shoulder, the other six tribes of Israel, listed in order of their birth. The high priest, as he entered into the tabernacle, as he served in the tabernacle, he was carrying the names of the tribes of Israel. On his shoulders, he brought God's people. And isn't this what Jesus Christ does for us? Jesus Christ in heaven today has our names on his shoulders. He carries us into the very presence of God as he intercedes for us, as he presents that wonderful finished work of the cross before the Father. He has our names. He carries us into the presence of God. We were considering this last weekend as Stephen McCollum was preaching to us about Christ's presence before God the Father for us. Here is the ephod. And then we have the breastpiece or the breastplate. And it was to be like the ephod in its color. It's made from the same material. These gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarns. We can read of it in verses 15 to 30. But it was a square piece. It was a breadth, which is between your thumb and your little finger. That was roughly the size, about 9 inches across, a square piece that had been doubled up. And on the breastplate, that there are 12 stones that have been set in by fine gold thread, this gold filigree. And again, these stones that are on the breastpiece, they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. This breastplate is held in place by gold rings, and then gold thread and blue cord attach it to the ephod so that it can't move. The breastpiece also contained inside, on this folded over pocket inside here, the Urim and the Thummim. It was also called the breastpiece of judgment or the breastpiece of decision. And the people of Israel, or the high priest, would use this to discern God's guidance. Now, we don't know exactly what the Urim and the Thummim were or how they were used. And that's a good thing. It's a very good thing that we don't know. Imagine if we did know how these two items or these two things were used to discern what God was deciding. What would you do if you knew that the Urim and the Thummim could be used in this way to discern God's guidance? Well, you would go out and you would get yourself an Urim and a Thummim and you would use them. What is it that God decides? But that's not God's plan for us today. We'll think about that in a moment. This breastpiece, the high priest carries the names of the people on his shoulders, but he also carries them on his heart. Each tribe, each person within God's covenant family is represented before God and is on the heart of the high priest. And the high priest, he knows the will of God. And he declares the will of God. He makes the judgments. And isn't this what Jesus Christ does for us? We are precious stones in his family. And we are on his heart as he's before the Father. And he's the one who came to do the will of his Father. And it is through Jesus Christ that we know the will of God for us. We don't need the Urim and the Thummim. How do we know God's will? It's contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. This is God's guidance. The word of Christ for us to lead us. Christ, who is King and head of the church, makes decisions. It's all found in the truth. Here we have the high priest, this representative, coming before God. And he carries us into the presence of the Father. And he makes decisions for the church. He's given us his word and his guidance. The robe of the ephod is to be all blue, this blue robe here. On its hem, there were these balls of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. They were made to look like pomegranates. And in between each one of those, there was a golden bell. These bells were so that when the priest entered into the presence of God, he wouldn't die. That's what we're told in chapter 28, in verses 31 to 35. Entering God's presence is a serious matter. God is holy. And so you can't come any way you choose. You must come in God's way. But also for the people, they could hear the high priest ministering on their behalf in the holy place. They heard him moving about with the bells. For the people, they knew the high priest is serving us, ministering for us. And Christ continues to minister for us in heaven. And we have his word, declaring to us that our high priest in the presence of God the Father is continuing to serve and minister for us. The high priest's hat, this turban, and then on the turban there's a gold plate And on the gold plate it says, "Holy to the Lord." The high priest not only represented the people before God, but he also represented God before the people. God is holy. And the high priest is called the one who is set apart. And here he comes before God as declared holy, declared righteous on behalf of the people, that he might minister for the people. Jesus Christ is our Holy One, the one who defeated sin and death, the one risen from the dead. We don't have time to go into everything on the high priest's clothing. But what I want you to see is that the pictures that God was giving his people Israel are shadows of what Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. We have a representative who is a picture of the glorious things of heaven, Jesus Christ, pure and perfect, the wonderful priest and savior of our soul. And he is the one who ministers before the Father for us. He carries us on his shoulders. He has us in his heart. And he intercedes for us before the Father. He is the one who goes before us. He has opened up the living way that we might be brought in. The very image of the high priest was to declare to the people, "You need someone to represent you. You need someone to go before you." And this is what we have in Jesus Christ. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your ignorance, your waywardness. And yet he has compassion on you. He carries you on his heart, carries you on his shoulders into the very presence of the Father. But this isn't all there is in the priesthood. I haven't mentioned what the priests wore when they weren't high priest, the rest of Aaron's sons, and the priests in general, because they were also clothed for service. In verses 40 to 43 of chapter 28, we read about their robes for service. And it's this white linen robe that covers them. And in this covering, in this clothing, they can enter into the holy place. They can enter in, and they can serve, and they can worship. And friends, I believe this is a picture for us and of us. Because in Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we too have been made holy. Our sin has been covered. And we have been given new clothing, Christ's righteousness that now covers us. And before God, we are seen as pure and holy and glorious. And God the Father, he accepts of us because of the high priest. And we are then called to come and to serve and to give ourselves. In Jesus Christ, we have become a nation of priests, a royal priesthood, and we can draw near through our great high priest. We can approach through Jesus Christ. We don't have to stand far off, but in Jesus Christ, we are told to come and to worship and to serve. God says, in chapter 28 and at the end of verse 30, "This shall be a statute forever for him and for his offspring after him." You see, we are the offspring of Jesus Christ, the offspring of the high priest. We are part of that seed. We are his family. And we've been called to be priests, serving, ministering and worshiping. I suppose the challenge that I have for us this morning is, in light of the high priest, because of the high priest who's gone before us and who represents us before God, how are we serving? How are we worshiping? How are we ministering in Christ's kingdom? Because our high priest has gone before us, and because we are part of his family, we are his generation, his offspring, we've been called into this priesthood. We too then are called to minister to one another, knowing that our great high priest continues to intercede for us and strengthen us and uphold us. This morning we're going to be installing two men into the eldership, chosen from among us to serve. That doesn't mean that we are then to sit back, but it's a reminder to us this morning that we are all a kingdom of priests, called to serve and minister to one another, love one another, pray for one another, uphold one another. But knowing that we can only do that through the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who's gone into the heavens for us. Amen.